Guidance is internal. Ignition sequence starts. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Permission to board, please.
Permission to come aboard.
Permission to board.
Permission to board.
Do I have some permission to board that sweet mothership?
This is the Permission Granted Podcast. Here's DA.
Welcome inside the Permission Granted Podcast, the PGP. This is the show about the show within the show. This is the podcast about the radio show, available on the DA Show's podcast feed and its own podcast feed. Just search Permission Granted. Also, it's available inside the free Odyssey app. Well, this week, Carlos with a K has been our executive producer, and so I invited Carlos on for side A, and he has obliged. Carlos, good morning. Is this your first ever appearance on the PGP?
Good morning, DA. Yes, it is my official debut. Ryan Botcher got to the PGP before me. How about that?
Wow, and you've been here now how many years?
I've been here 2 years.
2 years, so 2021 you joined the CBS Sports Radio Odyssey.
I came in with the Jack Stern class.
Oh, is that right?
Jack started about 2-3 weeks before I did. I was hired. Then we went for a lull for a while, and then EJ is like the next guy up. So I'm in that, you know, that draft class.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So that's love EJ. He's great. He's been fantastic, and it's great to be working with you as well over the last couple of days. Now, you had a good rant today on Angel Hernandez, and you got some love on Twitter about it as well.
Oh, I didn't see.
Yeah, as you were trashing Angel Hernandez, and so that was a good one.
Well, I mean, it comes from the heart. I mean, listen, it's a nonsensical story, dude. You're bad at your job. Like, stop trying to pass the buck. It's weak.
Yeah, Angel Hernandez, baseball umpire, has levied a lawsuit claiming discrimination, racial discrimination, why he hasn't gotten better gigs from baseball. But everybody in baseball agrees he's the worst umpire, and he actually still gets pretty good gigs, just not World Series gigs. And you were saying, like, come on, my family's gone through real discrimination.
Yeah, it's not fair to pull that kind of car stuff when there really is. Everybody has to, those real-life scenarios that we're still going through. We have a long work, you know, way to go as a society. So, you know, I didn't plan on standing on my soapbox. It's just, you know, when I read the story last night, I was upset about it, and it just carried over and kind of manifested today.
Now, where are your parents from?
My parents are Puerto Rican.
Both are Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
And you were saying that you actually, you were in a sales job early in your career, and they wanted you to change your name instead of Carlos.
It wasn't an option. The bosses, the powers that be, they came to me, and they're like, hey, we're going to need you to change your name. And it was like, not as the job interview was happened, because they kind of informally gave me the job as it was, but it was like my first day. They're like, we're going to set up your email. What name do you want to pick? I'm like, what name do you want? What do you mean, what name? Like, Carlos, like, you know, Carlos at, I'm not going to say the company, but I'm like, my name's Carlos. They're like, yeah, that's not really going to work. And then they explained to me blatantly why it's not going to work.
Too ethnic?
Too ethnic. And I'm like, weird. Well, I need this job. So I'm just going to not stand on principle here. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I'll take the small L. And I wound up being Charlie for 3 years. And everyone in the office referred to me. They knew me as Charlie. I'm still convinced to this day half the people didn't know my name was actually Carlos.
Charlie O.
Charlie O.
Because they let you keep the initial of Ortiz.
Yes. And then when I wound up getting promoted, because I actually went pretty high in the company in a very rapid pace, they gave me my last name. And I'm like, guys, this doesn't make sense. Can I get my first name back? They're like, let's not push it. You're Charlie Ortiz. You graduated from Charlie O. So I thought it was silly, you know, toward the end of my tenure.
What were you selling?
We're selling mattresses. You know, selling mattresses online. So,
wow.
You know, at the time, you know, if I say any more, I'm probably going to out of the company. But, yeah, we're selling beds.
So that was, when did you go into the military?
I went into the military, I was already then, in by then.
Okay.
I went in the military 2013. So when I got out, I got that job, I want to say 2015, sounds about right, 2016 maybe. It was right as I got out of active duty, and I'm like, you know, I got to get some money because I didn't want to go on unemployment. So I got the job, I actually got it through a friend, and then they're like, yeah, we like you, we're going to hire you, just got to do something about that name.
Too funny. So, which arm of the military did you go into?
I am in the Army Reserves. So, U.S. Army soldiers, not Marines, not sailors, not, you know, what do they call Air Force? Airmen. You know, so Army is it's the largest of the four forces. We do a little bit of everything. Really, any job that you can think of in like the real world, there is an Army equivalent of that.
Oh.
So that's kind of, that's the only reason I stuck around a little bit longer, because my contract was up like 2 years ago. I am a public affairs mass communication specialist is the full name. Basically, I do this for them.
Broadcasting?
Yeah, broadcasting. So there's a broadcast arm, and then there's like a photography, journalism arm. I'm more in that, even though I'm trying to do like the AFN side with them.
When you do radio shows for them?
So they have an armed forces network.
Right.
I believe it's mostly overseas. There is a broadcasting unit. I think they're out of Maryland. But because I'm here in New York and I'm too lazy and I don't want to drive 4 hours to go to drill, I'm like, all right, I'll just take photos and write stories. Like, but the radio stuff would be cool if I stuck around, which I'm probably not.
And what would you talk about on Armed Forces Radio?
That's a good question, because I haven't heard a lick of programming. I keep joking with people, like, if you love sports radio, don't get a job in there, because you don't find the time to listen to stuff anymore. So it's like the same deal with the military. Like, I don't listen to a lick of programming because I'm always trying to grind for the next gig. So your guess is as good as mine of what they're talking about here.
You're a big Cubs fan.
Big time.
You grew up in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the only Chicago team, though, you love?
So it's weird how my fandom worked out. I grew up in the 90s, you know, the first three-peat of the Bulls. I'm like 7 years old, 6 years old. So I grew up just kind of, watching Jordan win everything. So I grew up a Bulls fan. I grew up a Cubs fan. Cubs big in my family. So it was like, I don't even remember my first memory of a Cubs game. They just always seemed to be around.
Mm.
But I didn't get into football until I moved to New York. And that's how I adopted the Giants. And Sean, the artist formerly known as Mraz, thought that was the funniest thing on the planet.
Yeah.
He's just like, how did you pick the Giants? I'm like, we didn't have cable, dude. I started watching football here. And I was like, blue or green, I look better in blue. And I went with the Giants. And
really?
I stuck with them.
Was that easy? It was
that simple. I mean, yeah. I mean, I said it earlier. I'm like, I'd be walking around looking like the Green Goblin or Slimer. I'm like, green doesn't look good on me. And I'm like, a little big as it is. So imagine just me as a big green glob, like walking down the street. Like, yeah, Joe Klecko, Chris Martin. No, I picked the Giants simply on color. But smart decision.
Yeah, definitely. There's you've done some on-air stuff for our upstate South Carolina affiliate, mm-hmm. right? And so you've been a fill-in host down there.
Yeah, I'm actually doing it this week. I've been doing double duty all week. I just didn't want to say anything.
That's awesome. So for those of our listeners in South Carolina, they can hear you. And how did that kind of work out?
So it worked out on our weekend programming, because we have a rotating bevy of hosts. So Mark Ryan out in South Carolina, he works for the Fan Upstate. That's our affiliate down there. We linked up a couple times. I was producing for him, and I had been trying to push our bosses here, about getting a potential fill-in spot, because, I know the only way I'm going to get better is more reps. So, I tossed a couple demos
like
out there.
Like Anthony Richardson.
Exactly, But, we don't have Jim Irsay. Otherwise, I would have had the evening spot already. No, I'm still fighting for that with our bosses here. But so I was pitching a demo around a couple places. But, I'm a little older. I don't want to waste the boss's time with subpar stuff. So I wanted to bounce it off a couple of ears first. Mark just so happened to be one of the guys that I sent it to. I don't even know why I sent it to, because we weren't that close at the time. But as it turns out, he's the assistant program director for that station. He calls me and he's like, dude, I'm not trying to blow smoke up at you, but this is the best stuff I've ever heard anyone ever send me.
Wow.
And I'm thinking,
awesome.
And it was just me for like 15 minutes wailing on Deshaun Watson and Fernando Tatis when he got busted for steroids. I'm like, these guys are clowns. So I guess your ranting works around
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
But he thought it was great. He introduced me to like his boss. His boss and I had a quick conversation, 2 minutes. It's like, all right, we'll give you a shot. And I think it's been like a year and change since doing that.
Yeah, so it's been great. I mean, so you've been helping out here producing wise, and then down there you won't fly down there. You'll do it from up here in New York.
Yeah, our boss is very nice enough to let me sign out for a Comrex. So I do that from the comforts of my living room. That's why, I say double duty. It's really not that bad. I'm sitting on my couch for 4 hours doing a pro broadcast.
Yes, but I mean, you have to learn about that side of things. And so when you're doing upstate, are you doing mostly Clemson, mostly college football?
So it's almost an even split of South Carolina Gamecocks fans and Clemson Tigers fans.
Okay.
So very heavy on college, but I feel that audience is they've gotten to know me, that they know that I'm like, all right, this guy's not from around here. They're willing to entertain me with doing, you know, national level stories.
Gotcha.
You know, so Hard Knocks was big yesterday. Anthony Richardson actually coincidentally was big on Monday. So, you know, they seem to, you know, respond well. Because according to the bosses at that station, they're like, hey, every time you get on, our lines and stuff light up. So,
really?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy.
That's, you know, awesome.
It's nice to hear, but honestly, and I'm going to give you credit for this, because it's something that is I picked up on, you said it a couple weeks ago, honor the listener. And that the show, I say this almost every broadcast now. I'm like, hey, whatever you guys want to talk about, here's the number. This is your show. It's not mine. So, it feels good for me, but it feels good because they like it. And if they like it, that's what really makes
it happen. Yeah, for sure. You gave me, I think it was right before AJ was born or right after, a pair of baby J's.
Yeah.
Little Jordans, which we have in the closet right when he's going to get old enough to actually wear sneakers. Right now, he's basically just barefoot. I don't even think we have socks for him yet. We just have little booties.
Oh, but we got a lot of wipes to get the bottom of the feet around.
Exactly. Yeah, we do. So you gave me these great little baby Jordans. Where did you get the baby Jordans?
I got them at I got them at Queen Center Mall. I think I got them at Finish Line. I hooked you up. I hooked up Keith McPherson, who works for the embargoed station as well.
Right.
Keith's a good guy. I was, you know, and I wanted to get Pete and Marco a little something else, but I'm like, I work part time, so I got Pete's little girl a LWO wrestling tank top, which I'm sure she'll never wear, and I forgot what I gave Marco. I'd be very honest.
There's a whole slew of babies at the same time around.
Yeah, it was a big baby boom. Whose championship just won that everybody's getting pregnant? I wound up getting in the Finish Line, and I saw it. I'm like, I actually owned that pair. I wore them yesterday.
Really?
And I was just like, you know what? Yeah, I'll stunt with little AJ. You know, be fresh. Because I grew up pretty poor. I didn't have any nice sneakers or clothes. My mom did what she could. So I'm kind of making up for lost time. And I like to hook up little feet when I can.
That's really nice of you, man. Yeah, I'm very excited for him to grow into these. Because right now he's just wearing, you know, your standard baby onesie stuff. So there's nothing cool I can really dress him up in. Like, you know, I have this one thing that is like a Nike onesie, and it's, you know, my wife thinks it's kind of corny or whatever. So, like, I'm like, I have to invest in a really cool onesie, but he's going to grow out of it, like, in seconds.
Yeah, I can imagine he's going to wear the sneakers for, like, a week. Because it's, like, tadpoles, kittens, puppies, like, everything grows up in the blink of an eye. So you'll have it for, like, 3 days. I'm like, all right, now we got to get something else.
We have had three different update guys this week. Let's see. Monday was... Tuesday was Caserta.
Monday we had Barbari.
Right. Emmanuel, then Caserta, then Wednesday was Chris Lopresti. Tomorrow will be Pat Boyle. How has it been having a rotating cast of update guys, you think?
It's inconsequential to me, to be honest. I mean, you know, I can't really help them like I would help you guys. You know, my job has just been to produce, provide as much content and topics that you may be interested in to, you know, give a good show. Anchors and I don't really cross paths. I'm like, do you know how to do stunned? Thumbs up? Cool. We kind of go on with our day. Like, I can't help you with your updates. So, right. You know, it's been cool. It is interesting to see, just from my perspective, you know, on the outside looking, just as you see who meshes well with the show or not, because it's clear, you know, that our listeners, or even just me listening, you know, who gets it. Not to say that none of them get it, but just maybe who gets on it a little bit more. Like, we have our fan favorites for the fill-ins. I love Bogus, and Bogus is going nowhere. But when Bogus takes off, there's a nice little order in my head that I'm like, okay, I hope this guy gets in as opposed to
others. Yeah, and listeners resonate with some of the update guys more than they resonate with others. So you're right about that. It's funny because every one of the guys we had this week has been very good. I thought, though, that the way CeeLo used the Hard Knocks audio today was so good and so smart once we got him on the clean feed, which was like the good audio.
Yeah.
But like I said to him off air, I said, the way that you explained what we were hearing was really good, because it's hard if you're in the car, you're listening to the radio, you're on the phone or whatever, and you don't know, you haven't seen the episode. I thought CeeLo did a great job today, and it was all really funny stuff.
Yeah, it was. It was even funny in the first hour because Pete and I immediately started ribbing. I'm like, where did this get recorded? And like, it's in my bathtub in 93 on a cassette. So yeah. Even the fails can be funny. And some, it's not good radio per se, you know, coming after the sound. You're like, oh, God, my ears are bleeding. But no, CeeLo's a pro, man. Coincidentally, CeeLo and I work at the other station together, too. There's so much cross-pollinization. Oh, when you're a part-timer,
right.
Half the people here work at my other job. None of them work at the Army, so I'm calling all of you guys to step up. Yeah, can't be the only one here.
Well, you brought in the Army rations the other day that we ate. And
you feel better yet?
I turned the corner. When I first ate the beef and barbecue sauce, it was fine.
It looked so gross, though.
So gross. And then about 15 minutes later, I'm like, my stomach's not doing so well. And then an hour after that, I was okay. And I was wondering the entire day, do I stop and get something to eat after this to, like, press it down to my stomach? I said, no, let me just let it lie there. And then once I got home, I had a sandwich, and it was okay. But now I kind of see why, if you ate that regularly, they're MREs, is that what they're called?
Yeah, MREs.
Meals ready to eat. I could see why you would have a really terrible memory of them.
Yeah, and it's 90% I mentioned is crap. It's like 53% carbs, 28% protein. I'm throwing numbers out of nowhere, but like none of it is healthy.
No.
Because if you opened up yesterday, you don't get just the entree. You get a bunch of little knickknacks and sides with it. Most of it is cake and candy. And it's like sitting there for like 5 years. I'm like, these Skittles are clumped together. This can't be good for the body. But here we are just cramming them down because we got to give the contract to the lowest bidder. Got no money here. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
I didn't know the Army was in bed with Odyssey.
Did you serve overseas?
I did. I don't talk about it often. It was a long stretch of time, 15 months. I got hit with stop loss. Stop loss was essentially, it's a term to use. Basically, there was more people leaving on paper than there were coming in. So you had to like hold some people over so you had fresh replenishment reserves. So I was originally supposed to go to Iraq for a 9-month deployment. I wound up getting hit with 15 months.
Wow.
And I went nuts. I mean, you get into a routine and you can get into a routine very quickly. Like after, you know, I would say after a month, I stopped being homesick. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm hanging out. I got my bunk. I got my little posters and my little area. You know, I had limited service, so I was able to contact people every so often. You know, so it wasn't all bad, and you get over it very quickly. But, man, those last 2 months, I'm like, because you know you're going home.
Right, right.
I'm like, I'm ready to go. So luckily, I didn't have to eat MREs for, like, you know, 4 months straight. Because I don't think my bodily functions would have been able to handle that. But, yeah, it wasn't a bad deployment. It was just really long.
So you don't talk about it often because it was difficult or just because?
No, because you know what? It's not what you hear on movies or you read in magazines. You know, I did see combat, but, you know, it's glorified, you know, in Hollywood. You know, you're having 30-minute shootouts and stuff like that. That's not the case. I was in a convoy that did get attacked. You know, we had it like, it was like an IED, which is an improvised explosive device. And they're smart, you know, the combatants, they're smart about this stuff. They'll put it like in a pressure plate so they won't hit the first vehicle. They like judge the weight. They want to get the middle of it. So like everyone, the whole thing's got to like get stopped.
Geez.
So you do maneuvers over the disabled truck, which is the one I was in, of course. I'm like, my luck. Like they probably calculated it out. I'm like, oh, he had Burger King yesterday. Let's get him. So, you know, pressure plate goes off, and it was over in like 2 minutes. It feels like 2 hours, but it's never like what you see on TV.
Yeah.
It's obviously scary.
Yeah.
You know, so I definitely don't really bring that up, and here I am sharing it on a PGP. But other than that, it was really, really just boring stuff. I find myself not doing my job because I was in chemical operations at the time, which is a good thing. Chemical operations is like, I have to go investigate, you know, meth labs or like a chlorine attack goes off or something. And 90% of the time, there's nothing that I can do. So someone will come to me for advice. They're like, hey, something went off. I'm like, okay, cool. Which way is the wind blowing? They point to the north. I'm like, all right. Just go south. That's all you can do.
Oh,
I can't clean that stuff up. So,
yeah.
You know, it was a lot of downtime, a lot of busy work. Other than the 2 minutes of combat, I was kind of just hanging out.
Yeah. And so once you knew you were getting discharged at some point.
You clock out, man.
Yeah.
You're ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's got to be so mundane every single day if there's not that action going on, which is, of course, scary. But if it's really just busy work, paperwork, whatever, you're just counting down the days.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, I was excited to go home as soon as I got there because you're in an austere environment. But, you know, it's what you sign up for. You know, right. I got my one patch. I'm cool. I don't want to get deployed again. I'll do it if I have to. I was actually supposed to leave earlier last year. I had to talk to Pete and our bosses about it. I'm like, hey, you know, there's a good chance I'm going to be gone for a good chunk, you know, a good couple of months. It just wound up being on a technicality. I wasn't picked up because I'm doing this journalism job, but I don't have the accreditation from the Army. I didn't go to the school. I transferred into this unit.
Gotcha.
So I wound up getting saved on that because I'm still technically under my old job of chemical. Mm. So they're like, yeah, you know, we can't really take it, even though you know how to do the job. So,
gotcha.
So I'm hanging back with a couple people. Our unit is actually coming home next month. So it's been almost a year since I've seen these guys. So that'd nice.
Oh, that'll be.
Yeah, it'd be great. We cleaned up their weapons this past weekend, and oh, they were filthy. So I was really upset for a second because I'm like, you're making me do work? I didn't even fire this thing. It's all packed with sand, and I'm trying to with a toothbrush get it out. But no, everybody seems to be good. Everybody's coming back. I believe they're already stateside. They're just kind of going through the process of like acclimating back out to the country.
Good. Well, it's been cool to have you working on the show regularly, because every time you and I work, it's like a one-off. It's like Mraz is off for a Friday and I'm here. I'm usually not here on a Friday, but you know,
you don't say.
Yeah. So it's been good to have a chunk of days. And I thought the other day when Brooke the intern came on was so funny. Her final day of the internship, and I say, who's the most unpredictable person here? And she goes, I think it'd have to be you, DA. I thought, of all the people, I was like, I was never going to guess it was me. I thought she'd say Pat Boyle or somebody. Why? She's like, well, you're kind of mysterious because you're never here.
I think that answer caught everyone off guard, right? Because, you know, I sensed a little bit of sucking up to Pete because I don't know if Pete was like in control of her grade, and I'm sure Pete was absolutely eating it up.
Yeah.
But she, you know, she like bigs up Pete a little bit and takes a little shot at you. And I'm like, his name is on the TV screen. Like, it's his show.
It. Of all the people to take a shot at me, it was so perfect that it was little Brooke, the intern, who, I mean, I might have crossed paths with like two or three times the entire summer.
We met her the same amount of times, and I told her I felt bad for her. I'm like, I was your first day and I was your last day. Like, I'm the bread to this sandwich. What an awful deal that you got.
That was really funny. So it's been a good week here on the show. Side B, I hear you're going to have Greg Caserta on.
Yeah, I texted Greg Caserta. I hope he answered by now, but we'll force Greg Caserta and we'll get him on Side B.
All right, Carlos with a K has Greg Caserta on Side B. Stick right here.
And welcome to Side B on the PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast, the show about the show within the show. And it's a real treat for me to be hosting Side B because this is my first time on the PGP, period. Alongside here on the Side B is one, Greg Caserta. Greggy, hello, sir. How are thou?
Carlos with an L. Always good to be with you, my friend. And I was thinking of that when you asked me to be your guest on this. I'm very flattered because I was thinking, I was like, I don't recall Carlos being on a PGP. So to be your first guest is obviously quite the honor, my friend.
You know, it's funny. I was just telling DA on Side A that I'm like, Ryan Botcher got on the PGP before I did. And I'm like,
is that true?
It's him and EJ. Not that I'm keeping score or anything. I'm not petty like that.
No, it doesn't sound like it.
But yeah, and it kind of got into like, really, how long have you been here? And I, dude, it's been 2 years since I've been with the company, which time really flies. But yeah, this is the first time gracing the PGP, and it's an absolute honor. I mean, somebody had to do it. Pete couldn't be bothered for more work. Bogish, how dare he go on vacation? So you know what's really bad, Greg? If I'm on the short list of bringing up the Side B content here. But no better person to do it than with you.
I appreciate that. Now, I was thinking, so you've been here 2 years. When did you start? Like, when was your first introduction into the DA show?
Oh, that's a good question. I want to say that it's been a year.
Okay.
I think it was last December that I started doing these shows, maybe a little bit earlier, but I know specifically I was being trained around the holiday season because I did the Christmas show with DA while he was doing it at home. I was doing it by myself. So I was both Pete the Body and Mraz for that day. So I had to get a crash course. You know, Pete did his normal training system, not the accelerated course that Botcher got. Sharp kid, by the way. We'll talk about him plenty,
yeah. I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure, because we have him on Friday, and I don't want to tease too much of Side B yet because I do want to get into our Friday show. But, yeah, I think I've been regularly filling in for the guys since December. And, yeah, it's been a great experience. I have a lot of fun working on the show.
We have to cross-reference the dates because I know I was there for your early shows. I was doing updates. So I remember when you first started out. I don't know if I was definitely on your first show, but I was definitely there for the early ones. We got to go back and see how far it goes.
You might be, because I remember the, I think it might have been the first or second epic fail that I cut by myself, where it was the chicken grease story.
Yeah, that's right.
I was drunk, and it was like 4 or 5 in the morning, I think, if memory serves. And then again, I was out of my mind. But I filled up a pot full of oil because I wanted to dunk the chicken in there and fry it because I didn't own a deep fryer. So I wound up turning around for some reason, turned back, and there's a huge fireball over my stove. It burnt my range. Fires everywhere. And because I was just panicking in a drunken frenzy, I wound up flinging the grease over my my balcony. So, like, I had the pot in the middle of the street, oil just dripping down. And I remember it was you and DA mocking me that time. I don't know if it was that Christmas show, but it was certainly one of the first ones.
And I remember that being a moment where it was still very early on for you on the show. And as soon as you said that, I went, he gets it. Like, I knew as soon as you said that you got the show. And that's like an obvious thing. Like, with this show, it's very palpable when somebody comes in and gets it right away. It doesn't happen to everybody, but there are people that come in sometimes and they have to just kind of pick up how we spin around the room. And that was definitely a moment where I was like, oh yeah, Carlos with an S totally gets this.
All right, so so far it's been with an L and with an S. I may have to ask you what the significance are of those letters later. But here we are on Side B. It's been an interesting week so far, Greg. We've had a cast of characters on the anchor side, and DA was asking, you know, how did I feel about that? And I'm like, and I told him, I don't really interact with you or anybody that's sitting in a chair when Bogish is out, or even Bogish himself, because other than stunt to the news, and that's something you guys still do anyway, I don't really have anything for you. I just told him, and I'll tell it to you as well, that kind of similar to what you're just saying right now about somebody who gets it. I think all of the anchors that we have here in the network are very talented. Some are better in terms of just the X's and O's getting the information out there. Some are, you know, a bit more personable. I feel that you're very great at both. You have some of the funniest updates, which is, I think, is perfect for the show. We had a Babari on Monday. We had a U on Tuesday. We had a CeeLo today and a Boyle tomorrow. So we're getting 4 straight days of different anchors. And the thing I told DA that I'll tell you is, while everybody's good, the audience, the listeners, they definitely have that their favorites. And I think they're going to be very excited for what's going to be at the end of the week. But it's safe to say that you are definitely in the top 3 of the favorite anchors in the DA show.
Well, I appreciate that. It's very nice of you to say. And I've always said that, and I've said this on the show, I've said this on Twitter, that this is the main reason why I am still doing updates at the company. This is my favorite hang. I like to tease the fact that I'm a grouch and that I'm not into sports, but that's not true. I do like sports, but I think what makes this show so great, especially from sitting in the update chair and filling in for Bogish, is that you don't have to be married to the, you know, the top stories. The latest AP poll came out and this guy's demanding a trade. Like, you can go off on these tangents and just have fun. And to me, that's the beauty of radio. That's what's always made it such a beautiful medium, because I said it a few weeks ago when we said goodbye to the Albatross that used to be on the show, that I grew up on Opie and Anthony and Howard Stern. that was the radio that I grew up with. And I don't think anybody does a better job of passing the ball and creating this world than DA. And I think what you said to start this is that having a different update anchor in the chair every day is great because, one, it gives Bogish a couple of days off to recharge his batteries. Because, listen, if you do this show days in a row, and I give these guys credit, it's hard to be creative all the time that early in the morning. It's hard to be fresh. It's hard to be original. So I think we all have our own personalities. We all bring our own thing to this neighborhood. Like, you go from Emmanuel to me to CeeLo to Boyle. It's like, hey, we're going to go and check in on all of our neighbors and see what this guy's up to because he's a little bit different than the previous guy. And I think that's what makes it fun. And I love it because for me, I love doing this show. I would love to do it a few days a week. But I also think that I was thinking about this recently. I'm sitting in an advantageous position because I'm at a point right now where I'm doing it once every couple of weeks, twice every couple of weeks. And that way, the audience doesn't get burned out on me. It gives me a chance to go back to the drawing board and find new ways to be funny in the updates. So I think right now the show's in a really good place. Obviously, it's been a transitionary period with all the moving and shaking going on in the lineup. People having children, people having days off to burn, Bogish having a beautiful family to go on vacation with. But, you know, the show this summer to me has not skipped a beat. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, it's gonna get even better. I mean, I know that they're rounding second base as Pete the Body, the boss, if you will, on the Wheels of Steel, the audio director, the kind of, I don't want to say the head honcho because there's like three head honchos here. It's like there's too many cooks in the kitchen. But I know they're getting closer to picking out a producer. You know, the elephant in the room is, you know, who doesn't want that job? You know, sure. Yours truly included. I'm just at the end of the day, I really do care about the show. I know whoever it's going to be, it's going to be great. Of course, I want it to be me. Wink, wink. To anybody's listening, but I'm going to be a fan either way. So you mentioned the cast of characters. You forgot a Schwartz. We're getting a Peter Schwartz on Friday, and why is Friday significant, Greg? It's because it's another Summer Friday, which means we get another chapter, another annex, if you will, in the DAU, as I'm going to call it now, the Damon Amendola universe. Greg Caserta will be hosting, sitting in the big chair on Friday. So I have to ask you, how do you feel going into it?
I am excited because, again, this is something that I get to do every so often. I remember I've co-hosted with Bogish a few times. Last week or 2 weeks ago when Bogish was in that long stretch, I had a handful of updates where I basically just sat in studio all day and served as a de facto co-host. And I want to say that I hosted the show solo Thanksgiving morning this past year. I'm almost positive that I hosted because it was the day that the U.S. No, not Thanksgiving morning. The day it was Black Friday that I hosted. Because that was the day that the U.S. played England in the World Cup. And I remember going with a bunch of buddies to the bar after the show to watch that game. So I've done this before. As you know, play-by-play is my forte. I am not somebody that aspires to be a talk show host. But that being said, when I get the opportunity to do it, I love it because it's 4 hours of me. And again, I've got a crew on Friday that includes Schwartz, who, as we know, always, even when he doesn't try to, produces content. I've got you, who's one of my closest friends at the station, and you and I are always able to talk about something. And Botcher, who I was just talking with David Mayernick about yesterday. Botcher is, he's like Connor Green Jr.
And that yeah, he's a wunderkind.
That to me. I mean, the kid is silent but deadly. It's quality, not quantity. But when he pipes up, he comes over the top with a haymaker, and he knows how to do it. So I'm excited. 4 hours always flies by, and it'll be a good way to start the weekend, that's for sure.
I'll tell you what, as a part-timer for now, Ryan Botcher's the kind of kid that scares me. That kid can definitely take some hours away from me because he really is someone that's going to go places. He's going to wind up being my boss in a couple of years.
Yeah, I think that's a good prediction. You know, he's a guy that again, like, I remember, I'm trying to think, I think I kind of teased him a little bit when I first did a show with him, because he didn't pipe up for a while, and we didn't talk before the show, because, you know, he was actually working, and I came in late, so I think during the show at one point, I looked across the glass, and I'm like, who are you? And then at that point, you know, he started talking a little bit, and I don't know who gave him the credit, but his t-shirts are always on point. He's been a great, again, another guy that has just been a great addition to this show. So it's funny how, you know, DA is almost like the garbage man. Like, he just picks up these little things on the side of the road, and they all find a way to stick. You know, they all find a way to bunch in here and make it work. So, yeah, we've got four non-regulars on the show on Friday. I guess for a technical question, does that mean that we don't have a stream? As I'm assuming that there's no video on Friday?
You know, that's a real good question, and I probably should have the answer to that. I don't know. I'll talk to Cap on the other side of this. But either way, it's going to be must-listen. I'm excited for it. This is going to be a welcome, you know, little change for me, because I've been doing double duty of the morning show producer, and I've been doing some PM drive hosting for our South Carolina affiliate. So it'd be nice to not send a, you know, a robust topic sheet and stay up to like 9 o'clock at night to get up at 4. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait for it. So it'll be on Friday. Greg Custerda in the big chair. I'll be sitting in the EP chair. Ryan Botcher on the wheels of steel. Peter Schwartz on updates. And who knows what we're going to get. Might have a couple of surprise guests in there for you. So for everybody that's listening, you'll be getting a nice show in about 2 days or so. Greg, where can the people find you?
Oh, you know where they can find me. The Asset is on Twitter and Instagram. I'll spare you the details of that. But you can see me on MLB Network every Wednesday and Friday night. I host a show called Strike Zone, and then I also host a show called Big Inning. MLB has caught up and has started doing a show like Red Zone. So I do those two shows, and I also do some in-studio work at MLB Network. So go to my Twitter and my Instagram. I have my schedule on there. And, of course, Friday morning, 6 to 10 on the DA Show.
And you can find me on all your favorite social platforms, at Carlos with a K. That's at C-A-R-L-O-S with a K. Thank you for listening to the Permission Granted podcast. The mothership disconnects.